بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله، الحمد لله على حلمه بعد علمه، ثم الحمد لله على عفوه بعد قدرته، ثم الصلاة والسلام على نبيه حبيبه وصفيه وخيرته، أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد، بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. وقال سيدنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المرء على دين خليله، وكما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Respected honorable young brothers, you're allowed to smile in the masjid. You can smile. You had a good lunch. Oh, mashallah, you look quite serious, man. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said one hadith, amazing hadith. Every hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was amazing. In English they say, a person is judged by his friends. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are who your friends are. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say a man is judged by his friends. He said a man is on the deen of his friend. Whatever your friend is, that's who you are. So sometimes we tell our parents, don't judge me by my friends. No, they smoke, I don't smoke. They do that, I don't do that, mommy. I'm different from them, no. Nabi Sassam said, you are who your friends are. Nabi Sassam couldn't have lied. Wherever you walk with your friend, whenever you befriend your friend, let me give you a nice example. You take a sharp knife, exceptionally sharp, and Qurbani time, you slit the throat of the animal. What you'll see on the knife? Blood. You take that same sharp knife, and mashallah, you cut through a nice, beautiful, lovely, fresh cream cake. What you'll see on that knife? Cream. Talk, boy. Don't be shy. What you'll see? Cream. That same knife, if you take it, and you cut through maybe something else, if you cut through wood, you'll see the dust of that wood on it. That same knife, when you cut through different things, you will see the effects of that. That's exactly our life. When we, in this world, we cut through different people. When I say cut through, you rub shoulders with different people. Whoever you rub shoulders with, whoever you cut through, whatever is in that man's heart, whatever is on that man's mind, is going to rub off on you. The knife, as sharp as it is, the effects of the blood of the animal will rub off on it. So that's our life. Through life, we cut through the corridors of life and we rub shoulders with different people. Whoever you rub shoulders with will rub off on you. It's a golden rule in life. So Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his mother understood this. So his mother brought him at a very young age. The prime of a man's life, my ustad, my his ustad used to always tell us, the prime of a man's life is 10 to 20. 9 to 20, 25, there's the prime of your life. If you make your life then, inshallah, you made it through life. If you mess up at that time, chances are you'll mess the rest of your life. So that time, when he was 10 years old, his mother brought him to the care of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You must remember his life wasn't easy. We always say, but hey, it's tough in the times we live in. It's hard. You know, so many people are doing guna. My friends have got the phone, they're watching this. My other friend is smoking vape. My other friend is doing this. Mommy, you know how hard it is to stay clean? What was Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu's condition? Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu accepted Islam in a time when his father didn't want to accept Islam. Can you imagine how tough that is? His father chose not to become a Muslim when he accepted Islam. Imagine what a tough situation that was for him. But he accepts Islam. His mother says, my boy accepts Islam, he accepts Islam. When your parents tell you good, take it. Accept it. That's your highway to Jannah. It's going to take you nowhere else. His mother comes with him to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he says, oh Nabi of Allah, when Nabi Sassam came to Medina, he says, oh Nabi of Allah, many people have given you different gifts. There's not much that I can give you, but I bring this young boy in your care. Let him serve you. Let him serve you. But also I'm asking you, make dua for him. What was Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu's age? 10. What was his age? 10. What was Nabi Sassan's age? 53. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu wasn't going into the company of an ustad who was still young. He was going into a company of the ustad who was elder, he was old. Was 53 years old. But he trusted his mother. When your mother drops you off at the Hibs class and says, my son, go learn Quran. It's the right move. When your mother tells you, my son, does, mashallah, the Jamaat is going out for 3 days, go out with them, it's good for you. Trust your mother, it's good for you. When your mother says, go for that program, trust your mother, that's your road to Jannah. Many times we feel that, you know what, if I go and I follow the route of deen, then I lose out in dunya. That worldly I'll suffer because I'm accepting deen. If I choose to become a molana, then maybe I won't earn as much as my friends. If I do hifz, it might affect my school. Or we feel our worldly life will be affected. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, Nabi Sassam made dua for him. And if I forget, remind me, I'll tell you about Nabi Sassam's dua. Nabi Sassam said, Allah increase him in his children and increase him in his wealth and grant him barakat in it. See, young man, one of the core advices I want to give you today is keep contact with your ustad. Whoever taught you Quran, whoever taught you hifz, whoever is the imam of your masjid, go visit him from time to time and just make salam with him. Don't say anything. Just go make salam with him. Assalamu alaikum, are you Maulana, you okay? Walk away. By keeping contact with him, when he makes dua at tahajjud, he'll remember you, inshallah. One of the great benefits of keeping contact with the imam of your masjid, or your ustad, even after you finish hifz, just go from time to time, make salam with him. Assalamu alaikum, are you Maulana? You want to take for him something, take. You want to take, don't take. Just go make salam. Every time you make salam, he's remembering you. When he remembers you, inshallah, when he wakes up for tahajjud, then, and he makes dua, he's going to remember you, Maulana. Oh Allah, this young boy is coming to the masjid regularly, he makes salam, he keeps making salam. Allah grant him goodness. One big advantage of being in the company of the pious is you be part of their dua. It's a great benefit. It's an amazing benefit. Sometimes in life, things just fall into place. You're writing an exam and it becomes easy for you. Or something happens and it becomes easy for you. Or you almost met up in an accident and you got saved. And you don't know how it happened. Somebody's dua kicked in. Somebody's dua kicked in and it saved you. So keep meeting the ulama. Keep meeting your ustad. Keep meeting the imam of your masjid. Just salam. He stayed 10 years with Rasulullah. What Allah gave him? Nabi Sassam made Allah increase him. When Allah Ta'ala blessed him, Allah blessed him with so much, it was amazing. Allah gave him over 100 children. Allah gave him over 100 children and grandchildren after him. Allah gave him over 100 children. They say the orchards of the people in Medina used to bear fruit once a year. You know, you have a season. For now in winter it was orange season. And citrus fruits. Come towards summer, then you'll get other fruits. Maybe strawberry, and many other fruits. Maybe lychees and mangoes and many other fruits. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, because of Nabi Sassan's dua, his orchard and his gardens never used to bear fruits once a year. His orchard used to bear fruit twice a year. They say eventually he became one of the wealthiest people in the city. That dua kicked in. That dua was a connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now you know, many of us got phones, it's a reality. So let me share with you an example of a phone. You see, when you got the phone, and then you connect to the Wi-Fi. Now you know the Wi-Fi code at home, you connected. Once you connected to that Wi-Fi, the other Wi-Fis don't affect your phone. Am I right? I'm not sure, you can correct me if I'm wrong. So you connected to that Wi-Fi, the other Wi-Fis don't affect your phone. But when the connection with the Wi-Fi is weak, then your phone will show you scanning. And then it will pick up a whole list of other Wi-Fis. You can connect to this Wi-Fi or that Wi-Fi or this hotspot or that hotspot. Am I right? You people saw phones in your life. I thought maybe you didn't see phones. So, you connected. The point I'm making, when you connected to your ustad, when you connected to the imam of your masjid, then all the other haram connections won't affect you. All the other haram connections won't affect you. Because you are creating a strong spiritual immune system that is going to save you. But when your connection with your masjid, when your connection with your imam, when your connection with your ustad is weak, all the other connections will come in your life. Hazrat Anas radiallahu anhu, his connection with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was strong. He went through hardship in his life. It wasn't an easy life. But he survived the storm. He survived the storm. Later on, he moved in life. He stayed 10 years with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Guess what, young brothers? You know how many hadith are narrated from Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu? 2,286 ahadith are narrated from Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu. In 10 years, he grasped, he memorized, he retained, he digested, he accepted, he implemented 2,286 ahadith. That means every year he used to learn over 200 ahadith from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. At average, 220 plus ahadith. Imagine. How many ahadith we know? 10, 20, 30, 40. We're lucky we know our 40 ahadith. For which there's guarantee a person will get Jannah, inshallah. 2,286 ahadith are narrated from him. Today, he's left behind a legacy. Today everybody talks about a legacy. We don't like using those examples in the masjid and there's ulama here. I don't want to get in trouble. But a soccer star. Then you talk about his legacy. And you talk about this star and that star. My one ustad used to say, they call stars because in Jahannam, if they didn't have iman, they'll see stars in daylight. They see stars in daylight. But Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, which year in Islam he passed away? Over 1,000 years later. Over 1,000 years later, you and I are talking about him with such honor, love. That who was Anas? Why are we talking about him? He left behind a legacy. That today, over 1,000 years later, we talk about such a great man. Who said you and I, and you lovely youth of Islam, young sons of Islam, can't leave behind a legacy like that? That you stay with your ustad, you learn deen, you practice deen, you follow your ustad's footsteps, tooth and nail. And then eventually you adopt what your ustad had. You become his ustad. You teach Quran, you teach hadith, and you create a legacy like Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu. People, when they talk, we talk about Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, we're not talking that he lived over 100 years. We're talking about how he spent the prime of his life in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Two amazing hadith I want to share with you of Anas radiallahu anhu. That can inshallah inspire us. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu says, مَا مَسِسْتُ دِيبَاجًا وَلَا حَرِيرًا أَلْيَنَ مِنْ كَفِّ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He says, I never touched any type of silk. Silk is soft. Any type of silk that was softer than the palms of my beloved master Rasulullah صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I never smelt any ether or perfume that was more fragrant, that had a better scent and smell than the Mubarak scent that emanated from my beloved master Rasulullah. What he adopted after that, and that's the message I want to share for myself and for you, is everything of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became beloved to him. Everything of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam became beloved to him. He actually, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam cut his Mubarak hair on one occasion, then Sahaba used to keep the hair of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with him. Anas anhu, he had one hair like that with him. Sayyidina Khalid ibn al-Walid, he had one hair like that with him. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu, whenever he used to go in battlefield, he used to keep that hair with him, either in his amama or in his helmet. He used to keep it with him when he used to go into battlefield. And he said, Nusirtu, I used to find help, the help of Allah, because of the barakat of the hair of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam when I went in jihad. Wherever I went, I never lost the battle because of the Mubarak hair of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We don't have the hair of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam today. We don't have it. But we have the hairstyle of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We have the hairstyle of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Make an intention from today, inshallah. Say, oh Allah, I don't have my Nabi's hair. Allah, my Nabi's hairstyle I have. Oh my Allah, I didn't touch the hands of my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, but I can touch the sunnah of my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Wherever you walk, in whatever corridor and storm of life, Allah will help you and Allah will make you survive. Make that intention from today. Sahaba loved everything of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You and I must adopt that. That we will love everything of my Nabi. My Nabi's hairstyle I'll keep. My Nabi's sunnah beard I'll keep. My Nabi's kurta I'll keep. My Nabi's sunnah I'll wear. My Nabi's way of eating I'll eat. Sahaba loved it. One Sahabi says, a certain dish I didn't like. It wasn't like something I fancied, something I enjoyed. But when I saw my Nabi eating it, I also started liking it. So make that intention that from today, every sunnah of my Nabi I like. I can't keep my Nabi's hair. I'll keep my Nabi's hairstyle. And I'll lift my hands and I'll make dua. And I'll say, oh Allah, I cut my hair like how my Nabi cut his hair one length. And oh Allah, I won't shave my beard because my Nabi kept a beard. Oh Allah, I'm lifting my hands in front of you. And my tears are flowing on my face. They've got the Mubarak beard of my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah, because of the sunnah of my Nabi, I'm asking you, accept my duas. And see how you'll flourish in life. And see where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take you. How Allah will make you prosper in life. How Allah will make you survive through the storms of life. That's the one hadith I want to share with you. Another hadith of Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu. We're indebted to him. This hadith gives us great hope. This hadith is showing us what Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave us. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned that when a person who was sinning, so when you sin, you distance yourself from Allah. When you watch haram on your phone, you're like creating a gap between you and Allah. When you're walking through the corridors of life, wherever it may be, then and you look at haram, and sometimes you nudge your friend and you say, check, check, then you're pushing yourself away from Allah. You're pushing yourself away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then when you make tawbah, you come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you come, make tawbah, you return into Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, when you make tawbah and you come back to Allah, Allah gets happier with your returning. Like a man who lost everything he had, he lost his conveyance, and then it is returned to him. At a place where he had no hope of getting it back. So, this actually the incident is long, I don't want to go into it, where this person was traveling and in a desert, he lost his camel with all his food, and the camel went and ran away. Now in a desert, there's no direction you can really look at, everything looks the same. So where are you going to find it? He just sits there, responds and he says, probably I should just die here, now there's no hope for me. And then he goes and he falls asleep in that despondency, and after a while he opens his eyes and he checks, oh, my camel is back. And he's so thrilled by this. Out of happiness, he tells Allah, instead of saying, Allah, you're so kind, you my Rabb, I'm your slave. He says, Allah, I'm your Rabb, you my slave. Out of such joy, Allah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, happier than that man when he got his camel back, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala getting happy when Allah gets you back from shaitan. When you make guna, you're leaving Allah to go to shaitan. And when you come back, Allah says, no, no, this is my servant. This hadith we indebted to Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu that is giving us hope that no one is a write-off. In Islam, nobody is a write-off. If maybe your parents got frustrated with you because you're doing everything wrong. You do things wrong so often that even by mistake you don't get it right. And everything you touch breaks. In every way you walk, you're like walking into a war zone and you're walking into trouble. They say you're like a magnet for trouble. You know, magnet, you just put it by any steel and the steel is pulled at it. So some guys are like magnet for trouble. The trouble just comes to them. So if your parents or your teacher gets frustrated and it's like a write-off. They never lie. They just made a mistake. You know it's a write-off. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu said, there's hope. Come back. Allah will get happy when you come back. Come back. Allah will get happy. When you stay connected, my last bit of advice I want to share with you. When you stay connected with the pious, when you stay connected with the pious, when you stay connected with your ustad, when you stay connected with your imam, when you stay, stay connected with the masjid, you get connected with Allah. The ultimate prize is you connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu, and I want to leave you with this bit of advice. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one day he had a lovely orchard, a lovely farm, and his gardener or the person in charge of the farm came and told him, you know what, there's no rain, your farm, your orchard is dry now, you know. So he says, okay, bring me a little bit of water. He makes wudu. He reads two rakats of salah. He lifts his hands and he makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for rain. He's asking Allah, my orchard, my farm, my garden needs to be irrigated. There's no water. He makes dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After he makes dua, he drops his hand. He tells his gardener, check. He says, you know what, there's no clouds in the sky. Sky is clear. What he does? Now normally what we do? We're writing exam. Or we're in trouble, or we got a problem, we left our hands once, we made dua, finished. We read namaz, we never read namaz, we're not even sure. Now we say, hey, Allah's not helping me, man. Allah's not accepting my duas. I don't know what I'm going to do now, I give up. What he did? He lifted his hands, he read another two rakats of namaz. Made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second time, he tells his gardener, go check. He says, you know what, the skies are clear, there's no clouds. Now, what must he do? Third time, left his hands, read two rakats of namaz, made dua again. Oh Allah, help me, Allah, irrigate the land, send rain. Third time, nothing. We'll say, ah, I know, man. Fourth time, again, he read two rakats of namaz, made dua again. Told his gardener, check. He said, there is some clouds. But it's not no sign of rain, but there are clouds gathering. Again, some ulama say he went up to the fifth time. He went up to the fifth time reading another two rakats of salah. Then he told him, he made dua again to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The gardener told him, you know what, it started raining. It started raining. It's narrated in Tabaqat ibn Sa'd, it's an authentic narration. He told his gardener, go check. Go check the way it's raining. Miraculously, it was only raining around his garden and slightly past it. Allah accepted his dua. So I'm saying when you're in the company of the pious, and you're in the company of those people, then when you lift your hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you connected. The connection between you and Allah is a strong connection. But I also want to share one important point on this. When you make dua, Allah won't necessarily take your problems away. Many times we think that if I make dua, Allah will take my problems away. Allah won't necessarily take your problems away. Allah will make you survive through the storm. Allah will make you survive through your problems and you'll come out a stronger person. So you might still face the difficulty. Sayyidina Anas radiallahu anhu lost 100 children. Can you imagine how depressed a person in today's time would have become if he lost over 100 children and grandchildren? But his iman in Allah stayed strong and he survived. And today, 1,300 years plus after his demise, we are talking about his great legacy that he has left behind and how Allah Ta'ala made him survive through that. And he survived. So your connection with Allah will stay strong. Now when you're making dua to Allah, whatever your difficulties are, one great difficulty we as young people have is we can't resist the temptation to sin. We feel shaitan is on our back all the time. Shaitan is always pushing us to guna. And we can't. So lift your hands and beg Allah. When last did you say, Allah, I want to stay away from guna, help me. Allah, I want to stay away from sin, Allah, help me. Allah, I want to become 5 times namazi, help me. Allah, I want to read my 5 times namaz in the masjid, Allah, help me. We're making dua for this exam, and we're making dua for that assessment, and we're making dua for this and everything else. We're not making dua to become a better Muslim. So make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and persistently, continuously keep making dua to Allah. Allah help me, and then see what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us inshallah. Allah keep you in the company of the pious. Allah bless us, and Allah favor us with the opportunity to be in the company of the pious. And Allah make us to be amongst the pious because of being in the company of the pious.